Grace to you and peace from God, our Father, and from our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. The text this morning is from Paul's epistle to Philemon. So if you consider me your partner, receive Onesimus as you would receive me. If he has wronged you at all or owes you anything, charge that to my account. I, Paul, write this with my own hand. I will repay it, to say nothing of your owing me even your own self. Yes, brother, I want some benefit from you in the Lord. Refresh my heart in Christ. Thus far, the text. My dear friends in Christ, admittedly, the sermon text this morning is a little strange to our modern ears. We don't know much of slavery, and that which we do know is really centered around the atrocious behavior of certain Christians and non-Christians in America's history, where on the basis of race and white supremacy, they enslaved those who were differently colored and forced them into abusive and destructive service. It was wrong. It wasn't Christian love at all. It spoke nothing of the vocation that each of us has to our neighbor to love and to care for and protect the other. But the slavery that's in the passage from today, the slavery of the ancient world, cannot be judged by our modern view and judgment of America's slavery. It was very different. It was a slavery not based on race, but based on contractual agreements. The slave owner was just as responsible for his actions as the slaves were responsible for theirs. Slaves were more like family members who didn't have the choice of running away, unlike some precocious and bad-tempered six-year-olds in your families, I know. I'm not saying slavery back then was necessarily right. I'm just saying it was very different. So in the text this morning, Paul is writing to Philemon. He's a slave owner, but he's also a Christian pastor in Colossae. Philemon has a church that met in his house, and his wife, Apphia, and another friend, Archippus, worked with him. The household of Philemon was probably quite large, with many kids and with many slaves, but something happened once upon a time. We don't know all the details behind it, but somehow, for some reason, one day, Onesimus, a slave, ran away. And on his way out the door, knowing that if he was ever caught, he could be beaten or killed, he made sure to steal enough so that he could run away and never be seen by anyone again. As it happens, Onesimus ended up in Rome. Now you see, Rome was the cultural hub of the world. It was the entire seat of this huge empire. It's where you went if you wanted women, or power, or politics, or money, or even slaves. It might have been that Onesimus was hoping to sell himself to the highest bidder and then to be taken even further away from his home than Rome was. Who knows? What we do know is that instead Onesimus met Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ who was imprisoned in Rome after the events that happened at the end of Acts. And if you remember that, at the end of Acts, we find that Paul essentially gets himself arrested so that he might have an audience before Caesar to tell the good news of Jesus Christ to the whole world. People now from all over Rome came to this house that Paul was at to hear his words, this apparent prophet, a man who believed in what he did so strongly that he paid for himself to be imprisoned. He paid his own rent, he paid his own food, and yet he never was allowed to leave his house. He was in chains. And so too, at one point, was Onesimus. You see, Onesimus likely found a kindred spirit in Paul. Onesimus, who had once sold himself into slavery, and yet chafed underneath that yoke, saw Paul, who gave himself up completely for the sake of Jesus Christ. And now Paul literally was in chains for Jesus' sake. And yet Paul did not run away from his master as Onesimus had done. Paul stayed put and suffered. You know, I wonder about their conversations, Paul and Onesimus. They must have gone well, because eventually Paul ended up converting the pagan Onesimus to Christ, the one who became a slave to humanity in order that we might all be saved. And Onesimus became dearer to Paul than even a son could to a father. Paul heard the man's sins. Onesimus poured out his heart and soul. Paul heard of the slavery, the running away, the theft, the grief that Onesimus caused to Philemon and his family, and Paul knew that he needed to do something. You see, there was sin here, and sin has to be accounted for. It needed to be set right. Now, don't think to yourself here that your sin must somehow be weighed against the good things in life that you do. It's not as if we're the religion of the Egyptians, where if your heart after you die weighs more than a feather, then you go to hell. No. You see, all of our sins, all of us deserve hell. But Christ has atoned for those sins. Our sin must be confessed and it must be forgiven. And sometimes, perhaps even most times, we must make compensation for our sins. Now, that's not an eternal compensation. But here and now, it's a compensation with other people. Christ has indeed forgiven your sins, but there are still consequences, aren't there? If you drive drunk, you lose your license, or at least you should. If you murder somebody, you go to prison. If you yell at your spouse, you must spend time with them begging their forgiveness and proving to them that it will never happen again. These are consequences. They're sins that can be forgiven, certainly, but those are the consequences. You see, that's how it was for Onesimus. It was likely the struggle that Onesimus was facing. If I go back, I might die. But I must go back and repent to the face of my master. Whatever comes, I deserve it. Onesimus was facing the consequences, and Paul knew that Onesimus had to go back home and beg Philemon's forgiveness. Onesimus knew that Philemon, even though a Christian, Philemon had the right to whip him, to stone him, to put him to death for running away. That was the penalty. That's the consequence. And it's what Onesimus feared and ran away from. And now he knew that he deserved whatever it was that was coming to him. He deserved to be beaten, to be scourged, to be killed for what he had done. He had broke his contract, and he betrayed his master. And he might have certainly deserved all that was coming. But that's not what God wanted. I'll tell you that. It's not what God wanted at all. What God wanted for Onesimus, what God wants for each and every person, what God wants for you, is that you would know the gift of forgiveness that exists in Jesus. What God wants is for Jesus to die for all humanity. And so Jesus did. Jesus, the second person of the Trinity, died for Onesimus. Jesus died for Ariel Castro. Jesus died for Ted Bundy. Jesus died for Nero. Jesus died for Genghis Khan. Jesus died for Adolf Hitler. And Jesus died for you. Do you see how scandalous this is, this forgiveness? You are no better than any of these other sinners. And yet Jesus, in his great love for all people, took your sins, all your sins, and all sins of the world upon himself. And he died for you. He went to the cross. And he allowed himself to take the punishment that was meant for you. And that's the story here. Philemon, Paul, and Onesimus, they were real people indeed. But Paul, acting as father to Onesimus, acting in the place of Christ, acting as the mediator between God and man, writes to Philemon to say, "Put it on my tab. Whatever he deserves, whatever sins he committed, whatever he owes you, I will repay it." Christ sends us to the Father to ask forgiveness because he already knows the answer. Christ has already paid for your sins. The Father has no choice but to forgive you. And these are now the same words that Christ delivers to God the Father on your behalf. These are the very same words that Christ took to himself when he went to the cross. "They have sinned against you, Father. They are liars and cheats and adulterers and gossipers, and they fail in everything they do. But whatever they owe you, I will repay it. However bad you think your sins are, when was the last time that someone was allowed to kill you for them? You see, your sins are not worse than Onesimus's, and even he was forgiven. And so too are you. And now we see Philemon, who acts as God the Father in this story. He takes his slave Onesimus back, and he sets him free. He's no longer a slave, but a brother in Christ, a brother who one day would even become the bishop of Ephesus. This man who knew great sin, had an even greater Savior in Jesus Christ. And Jesus forgave that sin. Jesus welcomes him back to the family with open arms. Jesus takes Onesimus' sin so that Onesimus no longer feared what he deserved, punishment and beatings and death. But Jesus took all of that so Onesimus didn't have to, and you don't have to either. There is nothing we need fear from our sin. There are consequences, yes, but there should be no fear. When Philemon failed as a master, that sin was covered by Christ. When Onesimus stole and ran away from his master, that sin was covered by Christ. When Paul murdered dozens of Christians, that sin was covered by Christ. This rally day, when our focus is on the education of our children and even our own education, we know that when we don't educate our children in the love of God, that sin is covered by Christ. Teachers, when we mess up our lessons, and you know that we will, this sin is covered by Christ. When we fail as parents and teachers, those sins are covered by Christ. When we say the wrong thing, when we do the wrong thing, when we think the wrong thing, when we don't live out our vocations, when we absolutely just stink at whatever it is that we're doing, these sins are covered, they are paid for by Christ. There are always consequences to our sins, my friends. And I cannot tell you that life is easy. And I cannot tell you that you won't have to appeal to temporal and earthly authorities because of the sins you commit. And I cannot tell you that things will always go well for you and your children. And I cannot tell you what the consequences may be when you fail to educate them and do what Christ demands you do in teaching them and bring them up in the faith. What I can tell you is that there is nothing that you can do, that there is nothing you have done, and there is nothing that you will ever do that will separate you from the love of Jesus Christ and from his forgiveness. What I can tell you is that Jesus has paid for all of your sins, all of your consequences, and there is nothing you can do that he has not paid for. There is no sin that is not on his account. There is no sin that will ever separate you from his love. This is the story of Philemon and Onesimus. It's the story of us. We are bound together, sharing this story. Sharing the story of Christ, the one who mediates between me and you and God his Father. He does this forever. In Jesus' name, amen. Now may the peace of God, which passes all human understanding, guard your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus our Lord. Amen.